And the commentary gives the analogy of the army with the four factors, and music with five factors, and the pot with eight factors, and so on. So the army with the four factors means the army consisting of elephants, horses, and troops. What is the other thing? Oh, chariots. Tanks. Infantry, tanks, horses, and elephants.
Where are you reading now?
What?
Bottom of 152.
The last line, the army with four factors, music with five factors. That is, there's five kinds of musical instruments, like a drum with the what about the leather put on the drum? What about the
skin?
Yeah. So skin on one side, skin on both sides, and then something you can, what about that?
Whistle.
Not whistle. Like a flute. And then something you can strike together, like cymbals. And then eightfold path. So when we say eightfold path, then the eight factors are the path. And there is no path different from or apart from the eight constituents. In the same way, when we say jhana, we mean these five factors in this first jhana. And in the second jhana, we mean four factors and so on. So we must understand jhana, constituent or factors of jhana, and jhana consciousness. Now, jhana means these five factors, now vitaka, vijara, and so on. Constituents of jhana means each of them. So the combination or group of five factors is jhana, and each one is jhana factor. And consciousness accompanied by these five factors is called jhana consciousness. So we must know the difference. Now, in paragraph 109, although unification of mind is not actually listed among these factors in the summary version beginning, which is accompanied by applied and sustained thought, nevertheless, it is mentioned later in the Vibhanga as follows. Vibhanga means exposition. Jhana, it is applied thought, sustained thought, happiness, bliss, unification. And so it is a factor too. For the intention with which the Blessed One gave the summary is the same as that which he gave the exposition that follows it. So, although in the first passage, Buddha did not mention unification of mind. Later on, when he made an exposition of that passage, Buddha said, jhana means applied thought, sustained thought, happiness, bliss, and unification. So unification of mind is one of the factors of jhana. And unification is actually very important, because it is what we call samadhi, which is a synonym for jhana also. So these are the five factors. So the first jhana abandons five and possesses the other five. So the five that are abandoned are the five mental hindrances, and the five that it possesses are the initial application and others.
And these five mental hindrances that are abandoned are just for the duration of the
journey. That's right, yes. Not totally abandoned, because they may come back to the person. These are totally abandoned or eradicated only at the moment of enlightenment.
Through the power of concentration.
Through the power of concentration and penetration into the nature of things. In other words, through the power of vipassana. So So in order to be successful in vipassana, you need concentration. Because without concentration, no vipassana penetration can arise.
But why then, if you have insight and abandon them through insight, why do they return?
No, when by insight, insight can abandon only temporarily, not altogether. But only when a person reaches the stage of enlightenment can he abandon all these the mental defilements altogether. I mean, once and for all. Because vipassana is not strong enough, say, to eradicate or to abandon them once and for all. That is why if we do not reach the stage of enlightenment, then they just come back to us when we do not practice meditation. When we are practicing meditation, they are, how do you call, pushed to some place, and they will not come to us. They will not arise in our mind. But we stop meditation, and then we started doing things, and then we may get one or many of these hindrances again. So these are abandoned just temporarily, not altogether.
You mean you can sort of backslide after the first jhana?
Even after the first jhana, they can come back. But when there is first jhana, when first jhana consciousness is in our mind, then these mental hindrances do not arise. They are something like suppressed. Because mental hindrances and jhana are incompatible with each other. When one is there, and the other is not. They cannot coexist. So in order to get jhana, we have to abandon mental hindrances.
And once you've achieved first jhana, does it then become subsequently easier to experience it again?
Oh, you mean the jhana?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that you know
yes.
how to abandon the hindrances and you
So after you get the jhana, then this book will tell you what to do to keep it for a long time, and then to go on to the second jhana and so on. So after getting the jhana, first it explains that it is caught in three ways and possesses the 10 characteristics and so on. I think these procedures are a little difficult to understand. The first jhana has a good in three ways. That is good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good in the end. And good in the beginning is explained as the first jhana purification of the way is the beginning. And then how many characteristics has the beginning? The beginning has three characteristics. The mind is purified of obstruction to that jhana. That means mind is free from mental hindrances. Because it is purified, the mind makes way for the central state of equilibrium, which is the sign of serenity. What is makes way for? What do you mean by that?
Where are you?
Let something happen.
Prepares.
For instance, if you were to walk into the room,
yes.
People would make way for you so that you could pass.
Yeah. But the Pali word here does not mean that. It is to go to or to reach, not make way for. So because it is purified, the mind reaches the state of central sign of serenity or something like that. And central here means not too lax or not too active. Not overactive or not, what do you call that, underactive? Something like that. So the effort or the energy should be just the right amount. Neither too little nor too much.
Barely? Sometimes they say the word barely.
Sounds like he's talking about the middle way.
Yeah. the middle way, right? And because it has midway, it's the same thing, because it has reached, the mind enters into that state. And it is since the mind becomes purified of obstructions, and through being purified, makes way for, reaches the central state of equilibrium, which is a sign of serenity, and having made way, enters into that state, and so on. So we will skip these passages and go to, let me see where, paragraph 119. Now the first, it is called first jhana because it's just a numerical series. That means it is just, it is first, second, third, fourth and fifth. Or it is called first jhana because it arises first. It is called jhana because of lighting the object. What is lighting? To make shine? Or to put to fire?
Light on. To put light, like you just turn the switch on, you light
it. But here it is burning, not lighting.
Burning.
So burning the... burning the next one. This is... what do you call... observing. Closely observing the object. That is what is meant here. Upanijjana means...
illuminating.
Intensely, not illuminating. Intensely observing. Not lighting. So, the word jhana in Pali has two meanings. One is to look closely, to observe closely. That is one meaning. And the other is to burn. So, when you get jhana, then your mind is closed, or your mind is on the object. And you burn away the five hindrances. That is why it is called jhana. So there are two meanings to the word jhana. One that observes closely, or one that burns up the opposition. Opposition here means the mental hindrances.
I thought you had to burn up the hindrances in order to get into jhana.
Yeah.
Rather than once you get into jhana, then the hindrance.
At the moment, before reaching the state of jhana, they are not well burned. They can come back. But when, at the moment of jhana, then they are well suppressed. Then the disk of earth is called Earth Kasina, and this is when you practice Earth Kasina meditation, the jhana you get is also called Earth Kasina or Earth Kasina jhana. So, in the sense of entirety, the word Pali word Kasina means entire or all. That means when you look at the disc, you look at the whole disc and not part of the disc. And you look at it as a whole. So the word kasina means entire. And the sign acquired with that as its support, and also the jhana acquired in the earth kasina sign are also called too. Now, the Pali word patavi kasina, which is translated as earth kasina, can mean the earth disc. And also, the sign of earth disk, or the image of earth disk, you get in your mind. And also the jhana, which you get, keeping your mind on that sign of earth disk. So, the Pali word, patavi kasina, or earth kasina, can mean three things. The disk itself, and the image of the disk in the mind, and the jhana, you get taking that image as an object. Now, when it has been attained in this way, the modes of M-O-D-E-S, there should be S here, the modes of its attainment must be discerned by the meditator as if you are a hair splitter or a cook. So, after getting first jhana, and you you must also know the mode of its attainment, that is, because if you happen to lose that jhana, then you know what to do again. Say, I got this jhana when I was at a certain place, or when I had certain kinds of suitabilities and so on. So that, and also, I got this jhana when I have eaten a kind of food, or when I was at a certain place. So when you lose the jhana, then you can experience them again. So after getting the jhana, a yogi must discern or note the modes of its attainment.
That's further problem. You attain jhana by eating something. Or while eating something, not by.
Not while eating, or after eating something. You know, food is one of these suitable things we have to take into account. Sometimes, if you have desire to eat something, and if you don't have that, and your meditation doesn't go well, because you have attachment to that food, and there is something in your mind, and when you have that suitable food, then your mind becomes calm, and then you can practice meditation. The same with place. Sometimes a place is not suitable for you.
Right, but when you say secluded, actually that does not mean necessarily that the object isn't here. For instance, the food.
No. When you say secluded, then you have eaten food already.
So yeah, after you eat the food, you can be secluded.
Yes.
So in that case, you haven't suppressed the sense desire. You have accommodated the sense desire, and by that mode,
that is actually, you know, there are some food which are not suitable, and if you eat unsuitable food, then you may get indigestion, or you may get some kind of discomfort, and so that interferes with your practice of meditation. So suitable food is also an important factor to be taken into account. And also the suitable place. If the place is noisy and then it's dirty and with all other things, then it's difficult to get jhana or even practice meditation. So these are also important. And so after getting jhana, also you have to note these. I got the jhana when I had some kind of food, or when I was at a certain place, or when I was living with certain monks in a monastery, and so on. And that is not all. Then there are some other things to do too. Now, and when he recaptures those moods by apprehending the sign, he just succeeds in reaching absorption, but not in making it last. That means, after getting the jhana, you must make notes of these modes or signs of the attainment, so that if you happen to lose it, then you can get it again by applying all these things. Then, that will help you just to get the jhana again, but not to keep it for a long time, not to sustain it. That means, after getting jhana, you will enter into the attainment of, sustained attainment of jhana, say for 1 hour, for 2 hours, or for a whole day. Now, in order to be in the jhana state for a long time, then you need to do some other things. So, you need to do what here? It is, he just succeeds in reaching absorption, but not in making it last. It lasts when it is absolutely purified from states that obstruct concentration. So he has to avoid the dangers of concentration, or the obstructions of concentration. And they are just the five mental hindrances again. And so, not only has a yogi to discern the modes of or the signs of attainment, but he also has to purify his mind absolutely from the states that obstruct concentration and then lust, ill will and other things. And then, on page 158, paragraph 126, so if he wants to remain long in the jhana, he must enter upon it after first purifying his mind from obstructive states. So first, try to, that means after getting jhana, you don't go back to sensual objects or whatever. You just keep them away from you so that you can, you are able to be in the jhana for a long time. And after that, in order to perfect the development of consciousness, he should besides extend the counterpart sign according as acquired. So, after avoiding the obstructions to jhana, he must, what do you call that? He must extend the counterpart sign. Now, when a person gets jhana, before he gets jhana, he practices on the counterpart sign. So if the counterpart sign is about 8 inches diameter, then that is the same size. Now, the commentator says that he is to extend that sign. That means exercising his ability in what do you call, in dealing with the object, dealing with the sign. So he should extend the sign. And this extension of sign can be done during excess or when one gets jhana absorption. Before getting jhana, during the stage of excess concentration also, you can extend the sign. Or after getting jhana. And when you extend the sign, you are not to extend it like extending a clay bowl and so on. That means, I think, that when potters make pots, they do not decide this pot is to be this much big, or maybe the size, say, 5 inches diameter or whatever. But they just make the pot and then they extend it little by little. But they do not specify what size the pot will be, something like that. You are not to do like that. When you extend the sign, that you must have a definite size, something like that. Say, I will extend it by 1 finger breadth, 2 finger breadth, 3 finger breadth, or I will extend it to the size of the porch, or size of a building, or I will extend it to the size of the whole wall, and so on. So, you have to extend the sign so that you are adept at dealing with the counterpart sign. Now, when a beginner has reached the first jhana in this sign, he should enter upon it often without reviewing it much. That is on page 159. So, after extending the sign, what must he do? He must get into the jhana repeatedly. And he must not spend much time reviewing. Now, after getting into jhana, after the jhana thought process, there follows some thought process of reviewing the constituents of jhana, the observing the constituents of jhana. Now, the meditator states that do not do this too much. Because if you review too much, then the factors appear very crudely. The jhana factors occur crudely and weakly in one who reviews it too much. So you do not review it too much, but you just enter into it and then get out of it, enter into it, and so on.
Okay. Can you tell me what you think reviewing it means?
Reviewing means you get into jhana and then you get out of it and you concentrate on the constituents of jhana. Like, let us say vitaka. You concentrate on vitaka and then you concentrate on vichara and so on. So that is reviewing the jhana factors. You do not do that. Because if you do that, they become crude. And if you do that, while he is endeavoring for the unfamiliar higher jhana, he falls away from the first jhana and fails to reach the second. That means, not actually unfamiliar, but it is not so familiar. You know, and it is not higher jhana, it means the first jhana. After you get the first jhana, you are not so familiar with that. You just have it. You are not well acquainted with that jhana. So you have to, you make yourself well acquainted with jhana by entering into it again and again and not reviewing much the factors of jhana. So it should be, while, you see the sentence, paragraph 129, about the end. While he is endeavoring for the not so familiar first jhana, not higher, not so familiar first jhana, he falls away from the first jhana and fails to reach the second.
So the process of becoming familiar with the first jhana is just to touch upon the five factors?
No. Just to enter into the jhana, to let them arise in your mind, but not reviewing them, not watching them.
Do they just present themselves?
That's right.
Normally?
Yes. Yeah. And when they present itself in a strong state, then they are called jhana. So you do not dwell upon each and every one of the factors, but you just enter into the jhana and then get out of it. So after that, he should acquire mastery in the five ways. That is on paragraph 131. So after getting into it and not reviewing much, what he should do is acquire mastery in the five ways. That is mastery in adverting. That means mastering in reviewing the factors. And then mastery in attaining, that is getting into the jhana. Mastery in resolving, that is resolving how long you are going to stay in jhana. Mastering in emerging, that is getting out of jhana. And mastering in reviewing, that is the same as the first one. Mastering in adverting. So these are the five mastery you should acquire with regard to the jhana you have attained. And then there's an explanation of the five masteries one by one. So the first one is when he emerges from the first jhana and first of all adverts to the applied thought, then next to the adverting that arose interrupting the life continuum, either four or five impulsions impel with that applied thought as their object. Now, when you review the jhana factors, then the jhana may run seven times. But when you are reviewing in rapid succession, one jhana factor after another, then the jhanas do not run for six or seven times, but only four or five times, because you have to hurry in this way. There are two life continuum, that is Bhavanga consciousness. Then there is adverting with the sustained thought as its object, then next to vichara, and then next to piti, and so on. He is able to prolong his conscious process uninterruptedly in this way with the five jhana factors. Then his mastery of adverting is successful. But this mastery is found at its acme of perfection in the Blessed One's twin marvel, or for others, on the aforesaid occasion. There is no quicker mastery in adverting than that. That means adverting takes place only four or five Javana movements, and then two Bhavanga movements interrupting, and then for the next Jhana factor, and then two Bhavanga movements, and then for the next Jhana factor, and so on. And the second one is getting quickly into the Jhana. And the Venerable Mahamoggallana's ability to enter upon Jhana quickly, as in the taming of the Royal Nagasabha Nandopananda, is called mastery in attaining. There was a Naga, and he was very vicious. So, and he was angry with the Buddha, because Buddha went above him and then maybe put some dust on his head. So he climbed Mount Meru and then get ready to attack the Buddha. And then Buddha, the Mahamoggallana is a Buddha's disciple. So he requested Buddha to let him tame the dragon. So Buddha let him do it, because Mahamoggallana was the foremost among those who had the psychic powers. Then at that time, Moggallana entered into the what do you call it, inside of the body of the Naga, and then came out again, and then went into it again. And so, and when he was at the entrance of the mouth, the dragon put forth fire to burn him. So at that moment, the Moggallana had to get into Jhana very quickly. And it is said that only Mahamoggallana could do that, and not other disciples. So that is ability to enter upon Jhana quickly. And the next is to remain in Jhana for a moment, consisting in exactly a finger snap or exactly 10 finger snaps, is called mastery in resolving. Actually, resolving here means just remaining in the Jhana, keeping the Jhana while suppressing the Bhavanga. So that is not letting Bhavanga arise. So keeping the Jhana for a period of time. A finger snap or 10 finger snaps or the whole day. And then ability to emerge quickly in the same way is called mastery in emerging. And getting out of Jhana also. And the story of Elder Buddha Rekita may be told in order to illustrate both these last. 8 years after his admission to the community and so on. So here, this elder could enter into Jhana and get out of it very, very quickly. So he saw a royal Supana. Supana means Supana. What Supana? You know Garuda? Do you know Garuda? A mythical bird. So there, it is Supana. So actually it may be a kite or enemy of snakes.
Garuda often has a snake in it.
Snake. So that kind of bird, swooping down from the sky, intending to seize the attendant Royal Naga Serpent as he was getting rice gruel accepted for the elder. The elder Buddha Rekita created a rock, meanwhile, maybe a mountain, and then seizing the Royal Naga by the arm, he pushed him inside it, not no. He went into it with the Naga, with him. Not he pushed the Naga into the rock, but he took the Naga by the arm and then entered the rock himself and with the Naga. The Royal Supana gave a rock a blow and made off. The senior elder remarked, "Friends, if Rekita had not been here, we should all have been put to shame. Because even though there are many monks who had psychic power, and none of us was able to save the Naga from being taken by the bird Supana." Mastery in reviewing is described in the same way as mastery in adverting. For the reviewing impulsions are in fact those next to the adverting mentioned there. The mastery in reviewing and mastering in adverting may mean the same thing, because they are in one and the same thought process. Mastering and reviewing are the reviewing impressions or javanas that are in that thought process. So the javanas in that thought process are mastery and reviewing, and the adverting in that thought process is the mastery and adverting. So in fact they are not so different. When he has once acquired mastery in these five ways, then on emerging from the now familiar first jhana, he can regard the flaws in it in this way and so on. That comes to the approach of second jhana. So we will take it up next week. So this is the first jhana. So you try to get the first jhana, and then you develop it so that you can get into it quickly, get out of it quickly, and so on. And these five masteries are meant for going over to the second jhana, the third jhana, and so on. So without these masteries, the five masteries, you cannot get the second jhana and third jhana, and so on. So first, trying to get it, then getting it, and then keeping it, and then going over to the higher ones.
And how many jhanas are there?
Four jhanas will be mentioned here. Four or five. You know, there are fourfold method of jhanas and fivefold method of jhanas. Actually, they mean the same. But fourfold method of jhanas is mostly mentioned in the suttas. We very seldom find five jhanas in the suttas. So whenever Buddha talk about jhana, he mentioned four jhanas. But in Abhidhamma, both are mentioned, four jhanas and five jhanas. And the four become five depending on the ability of the person to surmount or to get rid of the jhana factors. Now, there are persons who have powerful intelligence or understanding or knowledge, and so they are able to get rid of two factors, the first and the second, the vitaka and vichara, at the same time. For them, there are only four jhanas. But there are others who can get rid of only one at a time. First, get rid of vitaka. And next time, get rid of vichara. So for them, there are five jhanas. But actually, they are the same. Okay, thank you.
In what tradition, how long does it take to develop the first jhana?
I don't know. That depends on the person's experience in the past. And if a person has experience in the past, it takes not long. But otherwise, you know, nowadays people practice some kind of kasita meditation, and even to get excess concentration, they have to practice about 6 months, sometimes maybe longer. There are people who practice the kala meditation, kala disc meditation. And that there is a monk in Los Angeles who said he practiced a kind of meditation. And he got the access concentration, but not to the absorption concentration. And also, maybe it depends on how intensively you practice. So if you practice, say, 2-3 hours a day, or say 8 or 9 hours a day, then that will be different.
It seems like they're good things, and you know, you have to give them up. Anyway, like the first jhana has pretty good things.
Yes, actually, these are mentioned as sukha or happiness.
Yeah.
So Buddha first said that there is happiness people get from enjoying sense pleasures. So that is a kind of happiness, although it is not in an ultimate sense. But compare with the happiness you get from sense, sensual objects, first jhana happiness is better. Because there is no sense desire, nothing, but you are really calm and happy. And then the second jhana happiness is better than first jhana happiness. Because there is no initial application and sustained application to disturb your, or to disturb your equilibrium of mind. And then the third jhana is better than second jhana and so on. So step by step Buddha pointed out that there are different kinds of happiness. But even the highest form of jhana, the arupa jhana, is still not altogether free from suffering, because there is disappearance of this, or there is the end of that jhana too, because the jhana cannot last forever. So there is the jhana consciousness arises and then it must disappear, and then maybe arise again and disappear. So it even that very high form of happiness has a beginning and an end, and so that it is also not ultimate happiness. So the ultimate happiness is freedom from all mental and physical phenomena, I mean formations. And so the highest form of happiness is nirvana happiness, the abandonment of all mental defilements. So Buddha gave different kinds of happiness, one above the other. So jhana happiness is in itself a great happiness, but still it is not enough for Buddha.
Finally, he thought that the attainment of the jhanas in succession was the way to abandoning all the mental defilements. Is that the path toward?
It is not an inevitable path, although if you read suttas, it seems like that. Okay, you go through these jhanas stage by stage, and then change over to vipassana. Because when Buddha described his attainment of Buddhahood, he said that he practiced breathing meditation, and then he got first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, and then he attained the supernormal knowledge of seeing his past lives and so on. And only after getting two kinds of supernormal knowledge did he practice vipassana meditation. So only then did he change to vipassana meditation. Before that, the practice of samatha. He practiced samatha meditation and got the jhanas. And then during the last part of the night, he changed to vipassana meditation.
That's when he saw the 12-fold chain.
Yes. Immediately before the attainment of Buddhahood, he reflected upon the 12 chain causal relationship.
But the earlier insights were like seeing his past lives and seeing all of the beings revolving.
Yeah.
Those were shamatha.
Yes. Those are not exactly samatha, but those are related to samatha. Because the ability to see these come from the practice of samatha meditation. Actually, from the jhanas. Only after getting jhanas can one get these kinds of knowledge. They are special kind of jhanas, we can call them. Actually, they are a variety of fifth jhana or fourth jhana. In fourfold method, it is fourth jhana, and in fivefold method, fifth jhana. So after getting fifth jhana, you have to develop them specially so that you get these supernormal knowledge. So when you read suttas, it goes something like, you first practice samatha meditation and then change to vipassana meditation. But in the later commentaries, it is said that you can skip samatha and practice vipassana. And they are called dry vipassana meditators. That means they don't practice samatha meditation.
Samatha calming the mind.
Yes, yeah. But even there is no